T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, Hardy, good morning to you. It's Cookin' Joe. No pump today. In fact, no pump since Monday. And I miss him, Ron. When's his golf tournament? Next Monday? Are you going?
Next Monday. He's going to be blowing us off next Monday to hang out with the beautiful people who do a very good job for a very good cause, I should say.
They do. And I'm contemplating showing up. But I don't think pump fully understands our position here. Like, all kidding aside, when I am amongst CEOs and famous surgeons and the people, the movers and shakers of the world, really, I'm very uncomfortable. And I don't really think they want me there. That's my secret thought around them. It's just, that's a fact. I don't feel comfortable in Pomp's world. Do you?
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I'm the same way. He thinks we're joking about that, but I'm absolutely not. That isn't our world, Joe. We don't belong there. We're just ordinary guys trying to do the best we can, you know?
We're sports writers, Ron. We're ink-stained wretches who have found their way to the radio. And Pomp, see, this is our job. Pomp sort of does us a favor by appearing each Monday, right?
He sure does. He brings a lot to our table, that's for sure.
He does. And I think people love the chemistry, such as it is. But, Ron, we have a big day. We have Jay Caulfield coming on here in approximately 7 minutes, so we're going to go right to him in the first segment. We have Derek Shelton. Shelty, whose team ain't off to a great start, I can tell you that. We'll get into that in our Grade 8 later. Let's start with hockey, and it'll go right into Jay Caulfield. And I happen to think, Ron, that this is going to get better for the Penguins. I think they're very literally getting warmed up. For me, I won't speak for anybody else, but there's a tendency just to jump into a playoff series like this is all normal, like they just finished the regular season. They haven't played for months and months. They've got guys like Gensel and Dumoulin who really haven't played for months and months, or very, very little in Dumoulin's case. I think they're going to get better. I think they're going to warm up to the task, and I think they're going to seize control of this series with their best game yet tonight. I think they started to find their game, to quote a former Penguin coach, and I think they're going to find it even more tonight, and I think they're going to win pretty decisively. I don't know if the score will reflect that, but I think they're going to win decisively and take this in four and really start to warm up to the task here. You?
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. The only thing I'll say, though, Joe, you know, about how, not an excuse a little bit, but they've been off a long time and that kind of thing. They're still playing the worst team that's in the field, the 24th seed. And they haven't always been impressive doing that. So they need to get it together. I tend to agree with you. I think they're going to. But tonight would certainly be a good time for that. There's no doubt about that. They are playing the worst team. We can't forget that. And they need to be better. And I think they will be better starting tonight. I look for them to do the same thing you do, win tonight, and then just take care of business. I guess would be a Friday night would be game four on Sid's birthday. I would expect they'll have a pretty big game on Sid's birthday. And then move on to the next round where it's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher. Did you see Carolina looked really good eliminating the Rangers in three games? They look ready, don't they?
Yeah, that's another not very good team is the Rangers. So I would agree, worst team in the field for sure, but best goalie, at least in the player's opinion. And certainly when he's playing like this, when he's on top of his game. So worst team, best goalie. And I don't necessarily mean just for the Penguins. Warming to the task and that all these months off might have affected them. Although when you take two players, two of their most important players in Guentzel and Dumoulin, I have to factor that in. But I sort of mean in general with the league that as everybody gets warmed up here and plays more games, I think you'll see less extreme outcomes. You know what I mean? I think that's across the board in hockey and really NBA too and baseball and everything. As you get more into the season, I think that you'll see less extreme outcomes.
What do you mean less extreme outcomes? What do you mean by that?
Fluky. You'll see less fluke because every team, once you get warmed up, I think that you'll have teams are what they're supposed to be, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, you know, the cream separates, if you will. There's no doubt I believe that is the case. And I do think the Penguins are a much, much better team than Montreal. But they better not fool around and let things get out of control tonight and then go down, 2-1 with everything riding and really a game seven. It's a game five. It'll be a game four, but they'll be facing elimination. They just got to take care of business, play the way they're capable of, and they should be just fine.
Well, they'll also face, if they don't win one of the next two, they'll be done, right? But there's also the prospect of back-to-back games in 4 and 5 and how that dynamic could play out. There's also, tonight I was thinking about, what would it have been like if they had split in a series like this? Of course, it would have been best of 7, so that's totally different too. But not having the Montreal crowd and the mystique, the Canadiens' mystique involved, and not having to go back there, I think that could work to the Penguins. I think that's a good thing as well, Ron, that they don't have to go into that kind of environment at all.
Yeah, but there's two ways of looking at that too. You know, the Montreal, you've been there, right? You've covered games there. You know what it's like. There's unbelievable pressure on the Montreal team, and sometimes when they're playing at home, they have to be feeling that pressure, I would think. So I guess it can work both ways, but there's no doubt, you know, there's no crowd advantage in this. You know, they should be just fine because they have the better team. In my opinion, they have the better team. They just got to go out and show it now, that's all.
Yeah, you're right about that, that sometimes that can work against the Canadiens, and sometimes a home crowd in general in hockey can work against the home team because you feel like you have to put on a show for the fans.
Right.
I guess I just think back to like 2010, which I've thought of often in this series, by the way, because you have a hot goalie and a team that's sort of a pain in the butt that's not really that good, just like those Canadiens that are making things very difficult on the Penguins. And I remember them going into Montreal, and I think the Penguins went up 2-1 in that series. Then Montreal won then at home. Then the Penguins went up 3-2. Then Montreal won at home again. And then they came here and won Game 7. So that series has been on my mind. What do you think of Brian Rust on the top power play, Ron? A lot of people saying that you may want a right-handed shot on that left side and that he was really good on the power play this season. That it just looks still a little bit off. I think it was better. Significantly so in game two. But what do you think about Rust instead of Guentzel?
Hey, I'm okay with it. He had 8 power play goals. He led them in power play goals. But who are you going to take off? Guentzel?
Guentzel, yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm trying to give him, that kid, a little bit of a break. You know, we talk about having all the time off and then jumping right into it. He obviously had a goal and then the empty net goal the other night. I'd be hesitant to take him off. He's a 40-goal scorer. If that's what Sullivan does, I'm okay with it because he did have a great regular season because of the injuries. I don't know that he would have been on that top power play if they hadn't had so many guys get hurt, but he led them with goals. He led them with he had 8 power play goals, more than anybody else.
And it seems to be glaring at time to not have that right shot from the left side. And you mentioned it, Guentzel. You said you want to give him a break. I mean, why toss him right back out there on that top power play, especially now that it's not working really well through 2 games? I just think maybe a change in the look. But let's ask Jay Caulfield about that. Jay joins us on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline, as he does every week. He's brought to you by YCLLawFirm.com. Jay, how are you today?
Good, Joe. Ron, how are you guys?
We're doing well, and let's start there. I thought power play looked better in game two. I still think maybe a right shot from the left side might create some balance. What do you think about adding Brian Rust to that unit?
Well, look, I've always been a – I'm always a fan of an opportunity for two one-timers from each half wall. So I like that. But I think the way the talent is spread out. But then you watch the Toronto Maple Leafs over the last couple of years with Austin Matthews, Joe, and they put – they had him on his strong side. So, I mean, that's a little bit different, but he's got a release that's like second to none. So – but I'm a fan, just all like what Mario would do on that half wall. Not saying, I'm just saying that opportunity for the one-timer is what I like. So, but to take off, I think to do that, you still need that presence in front. And so that's got to be Horn. Of course, you're going to have Malkin and Crosby. You're going to have Letang or Schultz to leave off someone like Gensel. But, hey, listen, whatever works at this time of year, you got to go with. And if the right-handed shot on the half wall is better, then you got to get somebody into that slot.
Jay, did you think they played a much better game in game two the other night than they did in game one? They thought they played a really good game in game one.
I thought game one, truthfully, was the better. I thought game one was I thought they were great. I thought they were good in both games. I thought they were great. They were outstanding. They only got beat by a goaltender. Listen, you guys have talked about it from the beginning. If you face Montreal and you face Carey Price, can he steal a series? Well, he stole game one, and he almost stole game two. And I think without the play of Matt Murray equaling Carey Price, I thought Matt Murray was very good. So, I mean, I think you needed that great goaltending. But I thought in game one they just took it to him and dominated. They had 90-plus attempts on net. That's a big number. They were dominating play. But when it mattered most, Montreal had the better of the play in overtime, and they get the winner. And that's what a goaltender can provide you, that opportunity to get to that point, and they built their confidence. And they got a little better through the neutral zone. It wasn't as free for the Penguins. So, but Ron, I still thought they played good in both games. I thought they were really dynamic in game one, though.
The only thing about game one that stood out to me regarding that, Jay, is that they missed the net more than half the time. I think they missed 57 shots, either blocked or just missed. So I'm wondering if you think they played smarter in game two.
But I still think they missed the net a lot even in game two. But now, you know what, Joe? I thought they were better. I thought the game was better as far as, you know, maybe limiting Montreal even a little bit more. I thought there was, if you watched in the third period, you saw Crosby have it on his stick, and he just chipped it in and got it deep. You watch the mistakes the Penguins make. It'll be from being a little over-aggressive going into the zone when you don't have the right numbers with you, or they have numbers back, and you turn it over. Then you start to feed a game. But I think that product of missing the net, guys have to fine-tune it so much, and they're trying to get corners, and it's not like they're just firing into a 4x6. They're trying to pick a corner, and Price takes a lot of it away, and they're just missing. So, but some of those great opportunities, you're right. I mean, I also thought in game one they just didn't, and it was discussed a lot. They didn't have the presence in front of the net. Malkin had a lot of opportunities, but there was Carey Price had a clean look at him. So, Carey Price is going to win that battle most of the time. So that's what I think was different in game two. I think Hornquist was a big part of that as you got into the power plays, and he was pestering Price in front of the net, that was taking his was occupying his time a little bit, his mind, with Hornquist in front. So they need to keep doing that. But I think both fronts, both games, the Penguins could have walked away with a big victory if it wasn't for a goaltender that really was on top. And I'd like to know, I should try and find what the grade A chances were in both games. Four Penguins at Montreal at that, but I think when Carey Price, the goaltender, is that solid, he kind of eliminated a lot of the rush that the Penguins would have had, especially in that first 10 minutes of game one, and there were moments throughout game two that he did the same thing.
Jay, speaking of goaltenders, a lot of people, we were talking all week after game one, a lot of people thought Sullivan might go with Christian Jarry. Did you think he should have maybe done that, or were you strictly in the Murray camp all along?
I think a lot of that has to do with what conversations like Mike Sullivan would have with the goaltenders and knowing the personnel. I think we had discussed this before too. I felt like if you didn't go with Murray has done that. He's proven that he has won these big games. And I know the year wasn't the same, but he's kind of risen to the occasion. So, but I think that that conversation and the coaching staff knowing the personality of a goaltender, if you start Jari and maybe he has a hiccup, maybe Murray doesn't, being on the bench and coming in, that might not have bode well. You know what I mean? Like, you just got to know the psyche of each player. And I think that had a lot to do with it, too. Like, hey, if we don't go with Matt Murray in this start, we're kind of creating a problem. And I think you went with Murray, and I believe it would have been a short leash, though, guys. I think if he faltered in game one, I think you would have saw Jari in game two.
Jay, we'll leave it with this one. Across the league, penalties are up. You know, we saw end of the regular season, the Penguins are getting 1 and 2 power plays a game. Now, all of a sudden, they're calling everything. Jim Rutherford likes it. Do you like it at playoff time?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're going to love it when the Penguins start cashing in on their opportunities. They play a clean game. They should end up in the power play more often than not than versus the opposition. I think it's really up for debate, though. I think it really takes, when you have that many special teams play, the third line is getting lost in the shuffle a little bit, except Hornquist gets on the power play, so they can't find their rhythm. But, hey, call it the way it's supposed to be called. Also, suspend people who are supposed to be suspended. I mean, if there's going to be a hit and you suspend Drake Kajula for his hit in Edmonton, then they let Matheson go against the Islanders, that still leaves the question mark for players. But so, to get to your point, Joe, I don't mind. If it's a call, it's a call. I love when the Penguins get on the power play, perfect. But I also think if you're going to suspend one guy, you got to suspend another. And like Ryan Reeves, even in the exhibition game, has a big hit on Schmaltz for Arizona. Why is that not looked at? So there's still question marks about how it goes to the control of the league. But I think what they've done, I still think it's been outstanding. I think it's great for all of us, great for fans, and I think it's great for hockey how they're carrying this out currently. I know it's the first round or the playing round, but they're doing a great job.
Jay, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next week. Perhaps, well, the series will be over either way by the time we talk next week. Hopefully we're still talking hockey, Penguins hockey.
I hope so too, guys. I hope so. I expect a big effort here tonight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.